Excited, y'all know, it's Christmas time, and it's really amazing, and I love it. I'm like, come let us adore Him. You know, we could never ever spend more time on Jesus than we should. You'll never spend more time meditating on Him and reading and studying and just worshiping Him than you should. It's a safe place to be. And I was thinking about this. The cool thing about Christmas is last Sunday, if you weren't here, you might want to listen to it because it's all about yes. Do you know that every great adventure, every great invention, every great thought, idea, every great hero in history began with one little word, yes. Like, it's amazing. And I believe that without the yes, we would have never had Christmas. And guys, what we're talking about is this. Last week I said this. Listen, what are you waiting on? We've been doing it our way. We've been doing it in our own willpower and our own strength and our own perseverance. We've been doing it that way for a long time. There's this cool Greek word, we translate it repentance. It's metanoia in Greek. It means, gosh, I was thinking this way. I choose to think the way God thinks. That's what repentance is. And God's looking for a yes from you. Some of you are addicted to saying yes because you love adventures. I noticed this years ago. I used to have a furniture store and a flooring store. And one of my employees stole my van, my personal van. We used it at the flooring store, but, you know, he stole it. And I knew who stole it because I had his wallet. He worked for me, but I can't find him. And so he's got my van. It was a really nice Nissan minivan. You know, it was like cool. It was old, had 150,000 miles on it, but it was a great van. And we start looking for him, right? Where's my van? Turned into the police, blah, blah, blah. I've got people that I know. He was in the drug culture a lot, and so I knew people in the drug culture, some of my best friends, and so I've got them looking for my van. And one day, I'm at Kay Bays' small group, right, at Tim's house. I'm just there visiting her small group, going to go to that group that night, and I love going to small groups, so I go to several sometimes, and I get a phone call from one of my employees. He said, "We found your van." I'm like, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "Meet me. I'll come pick you up." So I said, "Well, I'm over at Tim and Kay's house." He said, "I'll come pick you up and we'll go get it." It's at one of the drug houses in the Circle in Jacksonville. And I'm like, "I know that area. Come get me." And Tim was eavesdropping on my conversation. And I looked at him and he looked like, you ever seen a kid that wants to go somewhere but they're not allowed to go? Like, they're like, he's like looking at me with that look. And I look at him and I said, "Okay, okay." He said, "I know there's going to be a story in this." Isn't that the truth? It is. Your greatest adventure begins when you say yes to the Lord. When you say yes to the thing in your heart. When you say yes to changing your mind and believing that going His way is the way and the right way and the life-giving way. It's everything. And so we end up, long story short, we end up going to that place and we drive over there, we get there, and it was a drug house, a meth house, and it was really nice sort of house. And ends up the lady who runs the house came out and she asked us what we're doing, and we said, "We're looking for this guy." And she said, "Well, he's in the house." She said, "But your van's not here. Your van's in another place, and the Crips have it." the gang, you know, the big gang. He said, they stole your van. They said, "You can go get it." And my friend Jim Davis was with us. He says, "Oh, no, we're not going there." I said, "That's a good idea, Jim. We're not going there." And she said, "Well, you better take that boy with you," or something. She used language I can't use in here. Some of you have virgin ears. You don't need to hear it. But she said, "You need to take him with you because when the sun goes down, we're going to be carrying his head out on a platter." And all, he had been there. He was talking to us, actually. He wouldn't go with us. As soon as she said that, he was like, sirs, could I go with you? Could I get in the van and go with you? It's like a total change. So we put him in the van, and we leave. And we didn't get my van. I got my van back later. But in that process, I'm not going to tell you the rest of the story. Something really, really funny happened to Tim that you can ask him about later. If you don't mind hearing something, but it was worth the trip, wasn't it, Tim? That'll never happen to you again the rest of your life, ever. See, that's what saying yes is like. Are you looking for an adventure? You know, Christmas, unashamedly, is really about Christ. Center focus. I know for us it's a holiday. For Jesus, it's a person. It's about the greatest gift ever given to the world. It's like unbelievable. And when we started talking last week, when you say yes to the Lord, you become a part of this story, a part of His story, history. You really do become a part of that. And He's just waiting for your yes, because He wins the victory, not you, not me. It's His power in us that releases His kingdom on earth today. And God is waiting for that to happen. So when you say yes, it happens. You know, it's sort of like this. You know, last week I had, Stephen was a real trooper. He was over here. He's married. But I had him pretend that his fiance had just said yes, that she'll marry him. And so he came in, bursted in the room saying, she said yes, so excited because she said yes. Do you know that Jesus gets that excited when you say yes? Yeah. I mean, some of us struggled with getting up. I'm going to win a victory. Was that song we kept singing over and over? Yeah. What, in my heart, what I hear is, I've got some battles. There's some things in my life I want to see raised from the dead. And He's going to win the victory. He's winning that victory. And I believe it. I say yes, Lord. You see, in your life, there's battles that God wants to win. There's walls He wants to tear down. There's seas He wants to part. There are captives He wants to set free. And your yes releases His power into our world. It's a big deal. What do you need to see raised from the dead in your life? Your hope? Your joy? Do you need to see your heart raised from the dead? Do you need to see relationships raised from the dead? He's going to win a victory, but He does it with your yes. You see, just like Jesus. You know, you ever thought about this? The greatest day we should celebrate in the year is March 25th. Did y'all know that? Think about it. Come on, figure it out. Some of you math people. What? Okay. When I was a kid, we had this really innocent song we used to sing. We had a newly engaged couple in church last Sunday morning, and I forgot about it, and I had old ratty Steve say she said yes when it could have had Chris Hoffman, because Amy said yes to Chris, and he was excited. I mean, he was sitting right back there. He's with the kids this morning. He was like excited. Well, you know what? When I was a kid, what we would do when somebody was like sweet on each other, we do this. It's very innocent, okay? Chris and Amy sitting in a tree. K-I-S-S-I-N-G. First comes love, then comes marriage, then comes Amy pushing a baby carriage. Y'all know that song? Guess what happens when you say yes? Jesus gets to have another child on earth. Like, we don't celebrate Mary's conception as a date, and we don't even know December 25th. That's just the date we pick, really. But 9 months before His birth, which we're celebrating next Sunday, she said yes to probably the most painful thing she would ever say yes to. What's holding you back? What are you waiting for? Well, if I say yes, I lose everything. Oh, yeah. But you gain the world. Amen. I lose my, you know, I might get hurt. Yeah. I might be rejected. Some of you, yeah, I was talking to Stephen this morning. There was a time in his life when he was a younger man when God had him dance like David danced before the Lord in a service on Sunday morning. Wild. I'm not going to ask you to do it now, Stephen, but he'd probably pull. Yeah, I think he'd pull something. He's not there anymore. But you see, what about your yes? Do you know your yes is the point of conception? The birth is coming. Amen. Hebrews 11, right? Those great heroes of faith who lived and were sawn asunder and all this stuff in Hebrews 11. And what you see is people that said yes. Mary said yes, Jesus was born. What's waiting for you? You don't know until you say yes. Is it hard? Yeah. Well, Alan, why are you trying to talk me into it? Because I know it'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. Amen. 1,000 times over. 1,000 times over. Have you ever lost your hope? Have you ever? It's the pits. You know, physical torture is just a thing. But that internal thing in us, that's where we live. And I remember a few years ago now, it's hard because it's hard. I'd gotten to the place where I'd lost my hope. I didn't even know why. It's just like I wasn't motivated anymore. I didn't want to get up in the mornings. I was irritable. You know what happens when you lose your hope? It's like you don't have any motivation. My whole life I've been motivated. When I was lost as a goose, I was always motivated. It just never was a problem. You know, they hated me in the neighborhood when I was like first, second, and third grade because my parents would let me go out and roam the streets as soon as I woke up, which was before daylight. And I'd be sitting over at the kids down the street's house like, can Tommy come out and play? And the mother wasn't happy. And I was such a little weird kid. She'd say no, and not in a nice way. And I'd just sit on the steps for an hour and a half waiting for Tommy because I wanted to play. I was motivated. What's Tommy doing in bed? He's burning daylight. Don't do it. But then all of a sudden, a few years ago, I lost it, guys. And I've told y'all this story. I'm a little nervous today. Did y'all notice? I lost it. I lost motivation. I lost drive. I lost passion. And so I get Holly Reichs and Neil Wyatt. They're going to pray for me because I'm like, after almost a year of that, I couldn't take it anymore. You know what I mean? Have you put up with depression as long as you can? Have you put up with anxiety and fear? Fear is a devil. It's a spirit. Don't make friends with it. Do not get in bed with it. It's bad. I'm telling you, I got to a place where I couldn't take whatever it was anymore. I didn't want to be lived like that. So I called Chris. I called Holly and Neil. I said, guys, y'all got to pray for me. I don't know why I've lost my hope, but I believe that there's always a seed that brings a harvest. So there had to be a seed causing this in my life. I didn't know what it was. So they get together, and the only time we could do it was before work. And so, like, I don't remember now, 6 o'clock in the morning, one morning, we meet in my office, and I thanked them for coming. And something inside of me is going, this is going to hurt worse than anything you've ever felt. You may not live through this one. And so Holly started leading the freedom prayer, and first thing I did was bite her a little bit. No, I bit her hard because she did something that we don't do in freedom prayer. She assumed she knew what God was doing before she asked God to do it. She was wrong. I told her she was wrong, and I said, you're stupid. You know better than that, blah, blah, blah. I really wasn't nice at all. And then she said, well, focus on that feeling, which I knew the feeling. It was that, you know, I don't even know how to describe not having hope. It's horrible. But I focused on the feeling, and then she said, Jesus, would you come lead Alan to other places he's felt this? And I instantly knew I wasn't going to go there. I wasn't ready to see it because it was going to hurt worse than anything I've ever done. And I've gone through some pain just like you guys, right? Nope. So I said, guys, I'm sorry. Sorry to bother y'all. Sorry to ruin your morning. But I'm done. We're not doing this. Y'all can leave. And they both have done it enough, and they knew me well enough. They just sat there. They wouldn't leave my office. I'm like, okay, you sit there, I'll sit there. Well, I'm looking at the clock on my wall. I'm like, I remember 10 minutes or 15 minutes passed. I finally said, okay, I'll do it. Because here's what happens. I got healed that day of what stole my hope. And fear was keeping me from saying yes. But eventually, after dealing with my objections, I said yes. And that day, God restored my hope. Because there was somewhere I was separated from Him. And I knew that. Guys, what's keeping you from saying yes to your future? To the power of God overcoming in your life? What's keeping you from saying yes? You see, we're still, you know, I love this passage. We've been talking about it for a while, Ephesians 1, and really Ephesians 1 and 2, it's the very, Paul's theological exposition. It's like the foundation. If Paul was laying a foundation of what the kingdom of God is, he did it in those first two chapters in Ephesians. You're like, well, Alan, can we get off of these? Well, we can't until we get it. What do you mean? Well, when you get it, you'll be happy. When you get it, you'll be free. When we get what Paul's saying, it'll lay a foundation in our lives that God can build on. And so we look at that and we like, we should celebrate the day Mary said yes. That's the day the seed was planted and he was born on Christmas. So, you know, and the same thing's true in your life and my life. We don't have the angel Gabriel coming and announcing our birth to the shepherds the way Jesus did. But I want to tell you, when every time you say yes, the angels in heaven celebrate and the Father stands up and He approves of you. And the world can look forward to what's coming in your life. What's going to happen in your life when you say yes? Because here's what happens, right? When we say yes, what happens? That's what I want to know. First thing we talked about last week, through our union with Christ, Ephesians 1:11, we too have been claimed by God as His own inheritance. Before we were even born, He gave us our destiny that we would fulfill the plan of God who always accomplishes. You talk about hope. God's plan always gets accomplished. When His power comes into us, His plan for me and you never can be stopped because nothing can overcome Him. And in Ephesians 1, it goes on and on about that. We would fulfill. Before we were even born, He gave us our destiny. He did it before you were born. He loved us before the world was created, and He had a destiny for each one of us. And He's just waiting for us to say yes. And the thing is, when you say yes, something's going to be born. Something is going to come into the world that the world's never seen before. And that's why it's such a big deal. It's a big deal to know that this is God's plan. And He's the God who always accomplishes every purpose and plan. So what is His plan? I want us to get this in our head. His plan is this. You are God's plan. Is that insane? You're His inheritance. You're His plan. You're His son. You're His daughter. That's His plan. You're His inheritance, and you are destined to bring heaven to earth. You are. I want to bring heaven to earth because I know we live in a dark place and that darkness is all around us and it's consuming people around us. I want to see His kingdom come on earth. You know, I really do have a passion for this. I didn't make this, right? I stole this from seed digging. This is what One person I know of, and more than one, has a vision for this being planted in every school, elementary school, middle school, and high school in the state of Arkansas. These thoughts. You are loved. Every kid to know that at the youngest age possible. You are loved. Over and over. Who's going to tell the children that? Well, they'll do it. Well, you are they. Remember what Daryl Fist said last week? I said it. You are they. I want every kid to know they're loved. I want every child to know that they're needed. I want every kid to know they're valued. I want every kid to know they're accepted and safe and secure. I want every child to know that. I want every man and woman to know that. You see, because that's from the Lord. That's why Jesus said, I picked you. I picked you. I chose you. I accepted you. I valued you. I needed you. Before you were ever born, this was true. Now, what are you building your foundation on? Because, you know, we've had a faulty foundation in a lot of our thinkings. A lot of our foundation is built upon that we're not valuable, that we're not wanted. A lot of us have built our foundation upon the thought that there's something wrong with me. I'm no good. There's nothing good in me. You know, a lot of us will say that that's God's idea about us. And I'm telling you, that is not God's idea about humanity. Read your scripture and look at His Son. Look at God Himself, Jesus Christ. And you'll see that He values people. He loves people. It's like when you read just this one little verse in Ephesians 1. It's like we've been claimed by God as His inheritance. You know what your inheritance is? It's what you've got coming to you that you invested in, and you're going to inherit it. God's inheritance is you. So you have immense value. No, I don't. I can prove I don't. I'm a failure. I'm no good. I'll never get it done. I always mess up. What do you struggle with in your mind? I can't do it. I'll never be enough. No matter how hard I try. You know, maybe that's your problem and my problem. We've been trying to earn everything when God put it in us. And He's looking for us to repent. He's looking for me and you to stop living by our own wills and our own strength and our own willpower and begin to believe in what He thinks is true about us. Do you believe what God thinks is true about you? Now, it's easy for us to say, the last one is really hard, you belong. Nobody ever wanted me. You know those lies that are in our hearts? Nobody wanted me. That just, you know, we even use this crazy logic. In my mind, it's crazy. We use this crazy logic. I'm going to prove how much God loves you because God wanted you even though you were worthless. What kind of logic is that? You guys that aren't married, I don't know, is there any guys in here that aren't married? Okay, Patrick, next girl, you're the only one. You're just like Tigger. Well, okay, Dan's not either. You're just like Tigger, the only one. Try this. I've got a great line for girls. Vicky, wake up your grandson. I got a great line how to pick up girls. Tell them they're ugly as sin, but you like them a lot. That proves how much you like them because they're so ugly. That's a great idea right there. You'll be single the rest of your life. Or you'll marry somebody who believes they're ugly, that no matter what you do, they'll never not believe they are ugly, and they'll never believe they're not dirty, and they'll never believe they're not good enough. They'll never believe that anybody loves them. Try living with someone who thinks that. It brings depression, anxiety, all kinds of bondages. Jesus says you are beautiful. He says you do belong. He has a plan for you. So that Christ in Christmas, He came, right? He came, and it's through our union with Him. Now, His plan was you. Before the world was created, you were his plan to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And nothing can stop that except for your no. You need to repent and choose to think the way he thinks. And the very foundation of the way he thinks is you're beautiful. You're lovely, you're worthy, you're invaluable. You belong. All those things that we need inside, God says is true, but we don't believe them, so we need to repent. It's really true. You're secure. You're accepted. Well, I don't have to. I messed up yesterday. I messed up this morning. No, you're valuable. I'm a loser. No, you're not. I've always failed. I'm a failure. No, you're not. You see, you need to repent. I need to repent in every area where I don't think like he thinks. And so when you go to Ephesians 2, things change though. It really does change because he thinks differently. What are you saying yes to? Now, I'm going to not cover just a couple of minutes in Ephesians 2, but I want to cover these two things. And then we'll go on later. But he said in Ephesians 2, chapter 2, I want to straighten this up. And God, I ask you to give revelation to each one of us beyond black and white words. Because, you know, the Bible says in one place, it says, you search the scriptures looking for life and you don't even see that you find life in me. That's what Jesus said. He's the Word. He's the living Word. John 1:1. So Ephesians 2, it says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit. We know who this is, right? This is a devil who is now at work in those who are disobedient. You were dead. I put the definition of that word dead up above it there. Powerless, unable. Without Jesus, we are unable to resist the devil. And without Jesus, we're powerless to walk in the life and the victory God wants us to walk into. We can't without Jesus. And when we were in bondage to the devil, before Jesus died on the cross, all of humanity were dead. And this can get confusing because when you read it, it's like, well, wait a second. Listen, he set us free from that death. He said, you were dead. Not you are dead. He said, you were. Well, wait a second, I'm still in bondage. Well, we'll get to that. But before Jesus came, there was no way out of the bondage. Without him, there is no life. It's all him. Every good, perfect thing comes from God. And so you were dead in the ways you used to live when you were following the rules. You know what a ruler does? It orders us around. You know what a slave master does? He tells the slaves what to do. And the devil, the darkness, the kingdom of this world was at work in every one of us across the world. All of us, including Paul himself, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts, like the rest. So what does dead mean? It means unable. It means you can't. You're powerless. Now, look what happens. Then he uses another word I want to talk about. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Now, we take that word, and you can read anger in it. The word literally means, and it's orge is the word, it means upsurging of sap or vigor, or an impulse that controls you. That's what that word means. So when we are not walking with Jesus, when we were being controlled by the darkness is rising up inside of us and we can't stop it. We cannot stop our behavior. We can't stop our thoughts. We can't stop our actions. We can't stop the way we think. When that is rising up inside of us, and what happens with wrath? The purpose of that wrath is to bring us to Jesus. Because when you're with Jesus, you live. When you're not with Jesus, you die. You know, it's funny. So wrath of God is different. Here's wrath. This is an orchid, right? It's out of my office. I like orchids. This one's really sort of funny. It's very pretty. It's real. And you know what? I am a master orchid grower. No, I'm not. These are the simplest flowers to grow of any flower. If you give this flower what it needs, it'll do this. And the flowers last at least a month, some maybe 6-8 weeks sometimes. And all you have to do is give it what it needs, which is really simple. But most people don't know what they need, and so they kill them all the time. But if you give this what it needs, it's going to produce flower. Now, if I put a bunch of water in here, and I watered it like every other day or something, I'd kill it. The flowers would drop off. You know how you can tell they're healthy? If these things are green, orchids get water from the air, like they're not like other plants. And so these things are actually taking water to that thing. Like, it's sort of crazy. And you can tell they're healthy because they're green. If I watered it too much, those would all turn brown and die. And eventually the plant would die. That's wrath. That's wrath. You see, God gives us what we need. But if we don't take it, then we begin to die. And then that darkness starts controlling us and coming up within us. And that wrath of God is the control of the darkness over your mind. I'm telling you, live hopeless and tell me how that works for you. Live in fear. Tell me what that's like. Live in a deep depression. Tell me what that's like. Live with anxiety. Tell me what that's like. Live in an addiction that's destroying you. You know what? That's the wrath of God rising up inside of you. It's not punishment. It's the love of God that's saying, come back to Him. You need Jesus. You need Him. No, I can live without Him. Yeah. And your roots are going to start drying up. And it may take a while before it affects the plant, but your roots will die pretty quick. Guys, it's like He's everything. We were dead, and He made us alive with Christ. It's like, and you know what happens? For it's by grace you've been saved. It's the grace of God. It's like He's the vine, and we're the branches, and we just stay hooked on the vine, and all of a sudden we have these beautiful flowers that bless everybody. You know, I love that song, The Blessing. And I think about that song. You already thought about the words of that song? I printed it out because I was like, you know, it really is true. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. It's like in that song, it's like you, the Lord do this to you. The Lord give you this to you. The Lord give this to you and your children and your children's children. And you know what Jesus did? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And when God gave us Jesus, it blessed us. And when you come to the Lord, He blesses you to bless others. That's why you're here. That's what we're here for. There are things waiting for us, for our yes, so God can bring life into the world. I don't know how we're going to, I mean, I know what Shauna Burns is doing with seed digging. She's working hard on getting every school in Arkansas to buy into seed digging, that this is how we raise our kids. And we introduce them to Jesus, unconditional love Himself. And she's working hard to see that happen in every elementary school in Arkansas. And she'd like to see it in the nation. You see, she said yes to God a few years ago. And she's working and she's going. And she keeps saying yes and she keeps saying yes. What's God? Your yes is just as important as her yes. So God does this. And it's not. This is grace. You've been saved through faith and not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. We all know that verse. And we use it just to go to heaven. Use it to live by. Don't wait till you go to heaven. You know, go walk out in front of a bus if you want to go to heaven. You could do that today. But you could live this way. You can live this way, and then you bring heaven to earth, and you become a flower in our lives. And you bring blessing everywhere you go. And you know what happens? No one can boast. Do you understand that the foundation, when our foundation is off, you know what it brings into our lives? Judgment, bigotry, hierarchies, all this stuff. Division, fighting, all this stuff. Prejudice, it all comes from a bad foundation. But when you have Jesus' foundation, then you quit boasting about how good you are and how bad they are and what they believe and what you believe. You quit judging those things and you give God credit for everything. And love begins. Because the truth is, we are God's handiwork. We're God's handiwork. He loves us. He says, you're wonderful. And you know, we were created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Guys, this is Christmas. It is. And it's when we think about gifts. And we think about the gift, right? Jesus. But we forget that we were created in His image. We were created in His image. You know, we have the same purpose and destiny Jesus had. You're the gift in the world. You are the gift in this world. Now, you know what repentance is? It's you agreeing with God about that. Do you believe you're God's gift? You know, we say that. We'll make fun of somebody and say, oh, they think they're God's gift to man. Well, you are. Sorry, you are. I just saw Art. I spent 3 hours watching dance last night, Art. 3 hours watching dance. It was wonderful. My granddaughter was there. And Hannah, a girl that works in our nursery, she was there. And they had little kids like this tall. I mean, little bitty kids dressed in these green flu things. They were hilarious. It was fun. Yeah, Tommy, next year I'll call you. You can go with us. Yeah, it's only like $8. 3 hours. What? That's cheap. But, you know, the truth is you are God's gift. Amen. Well, you need to repent. You need to repent for not thinking the way God thinks and trying to do everything by your own strength and your own willpower and your own judgment and your own whatever. Listen, it's all by faith. And if it's good, it's God. And all He wants is your yes. Yeah, but all I could do is bake cookies. Well, all I could do is grow orchids. I give Him my yes. And He grows flowers. What's God want from you? What wall needs to come down in your life? That song really was true. It really is. What does God want to do in your life this Christmas? I think He wants you to begin a new journey. A journey with the foundation built upon what He says and not upon what you've been told. He says you're the apple of His eye. He says you are His inheritance in this world. He said you have unbelievable value and worth. He honors you. He thinks you're great. Do you agree with Him? Now, God said two things. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. God's good. His wrath is just like the wrath in this flower. Yeah. Does the devil get involved? Oh, yeah. God uses him like a pawn. If you want to be rebellious and try to destroy yourself, you will experience darkness. And it'll be bad. But the purpose is to bring you back to life. I experienced darkness, and then I got to experience an amazing gift of God that day. God wants you to experience His gift. Then He says, not only that, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Until you believe that people are good, you can't love your neighbor. Because they're bad. How about they're in bondage? That upsurging, they can't control. That doesn't mean it's right. It doesn't mean that. Jesus suffered dearly at the hand of humanity. But he loved them the whole time because he saw their value and worth before they were ever born. Do you believe it? Do you believe that you're good? And that Jesus, all you need is Jesus. Well, Helen, is that enough for me? Yeah. He's enough. You see, as a song in my head this morning, Jesus is tenderly calling. I don't know why these old hymns, come on up, Sharon, why these old hymns keep popping in my head lately. It says it's an invitation hymn from the Baptist churches. Jesus is calling. He's calling you home. He's not calling you to hurt you. He's calling you to embrace you. Every time I've ever repented of anything, it's been love. He wants you. Have you been trying to do it your way? You've been trying to work your way through with willpower and sacrifice. He's calling you. You need Jesus. Well, Helen, you need Jesus. And if you come to him, then his power will give you the power you don't have. Every time. So let's just wait on him a second. So let's all stand up, okay? Would y'all mind? Let's just wait on him a second. You know, the words of that song says, Jesus is tenderly calling you home. Calling you, old sinner, home. That word sinner, hamartia, it just means someone who's doing stuff their own way. That's what it means. It means someone who's trying hard, pushing. That's all it means. You know, when you repent is when you change your mind and start seeing yourself and seeing others and seeing him the way he sees. God wants to change you today. Some of us need to change how we think. We need to repent. We need to agree with God. And we want to help you do that. It'd be a good day to come to Jesus. He's good. Most kind, gentle, loving human that's ever lived. And he is God. So this morning, if you feel him calling you, if you've been struggling with self-judgment and doubt, anxiety and fear, Jesus has, he wants to break through in your life. If there's some walls in your life that you can't get over, Jesus wants to help you. He is the answer. And he always will be. So God, I just thank you for a Christmas. I thank you for Mary, that little girl who said yes to you 2,000 years ago. And God, I pray that today this room would be full of people who will say yes to you. Yes today, yes tonight, and yes tomorrow. And God, I thank you that song's true. Jesus is tenderly calling you home. So this morning, God's calling you. He's asking you to come to his house. He wants you to come and look in his face. Now, our prayer teams up here this morning, they'll help you see in Jesus' face. They really will. Okay? So I thank you for being here. Remember, Christmas Eve service, 5 p.m. And the communion table's still open. Love on each other. And if you want to pray with somebody, we have two prophetic teams up here who would love to pray with you this morning. God bless you guys.